Today's daf is Baba Kamed Daf Lamed Dalid. We left off on the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, about five lines before the lines get wide at the two dots. Omar Mar. So we're going to first explain the Tosefta that preceded those two dots, the Brisa that we had quoted previously. So we're going to go through all of the details of that Tosefta. Then on Amid Aleph, the Gemara is going to bring a Brisa about what happens when either the Shara Mazik or the Shara Nizik goes either up or down in value after the Nezek, but before the Hamad the Bedin. How do we assess the change in damage? The Mishnah on the middle of Amid Aleph is going to talk about a Machlokas, how to split the Shara Nizik and the Shara Mazik when a tam damages, because the Torah seems to indicate that you split both animals and that's how you pay the chatzi nezek. So it's going to be machlokas tonight, what exactly that means and under what circumstances we actually split both animals. The Gemara is going to have two explanations of machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda on how exactly one pays chatzi nezek, and then at the Mishnah Amid Beis is going to talk about two cases where you're chayiv if you do it, but not if your animal does it, and two cases where you're chayiv if your animal does something, but not if you were to do it. We'll see if we get to that Mishnah. We'll see if we get that far. So let's pick up five lines before the lines get wide. Amar Mar. So we had said in the Tosefta, or the Brisa that we had quoted yesterday, that Mecharo, if the Mazik sells his Shor Tam that had done damage before they ever had a chance to do Amad Bedin, Machur, that sale is valid. So the Gemara explains that that's Liridya, that is for plowing, for work in the field, and that's how we explain the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, that even though the Nizik is allowed to take it from the Rishus HaLokeach, nevertheless he cannot collect from the guy who bought it, from the Lokeach, the money that he made on the Harisha. So yes, you could take the animal away from the Lokeach, but it is Machur, it's considered to be sold to the Lokeach as far as whatever benefit he got from the Harisha in the meantime, so long as he had that animal. Hekdesho Muktush Mishum Drabi Avo. If the Mazik is Maktish that Shor, the reason it's Muktush is not really that it's Kadosh Mekradin. Mekradin, it's really not Kadosh because it's Meshubah to the Nizik. But the Nizik is Chayiv to give a Pruta to Hegdish in order to be Poda it, in order that people should not think that there's such a thing as Hegdish being Yotze below Pidyon. So that is purely a Din Midrabanan. Shechato and the son of Bematana, Masha Asa Asu. He said if the Mazik shechts the Shor or gives it as a Matana, so then that is a binding matana. So Bisham, the son of Matana, Masha Asa Asui, the Ridya. I understand what we mean when we say that if he gives it as a matana, it's a binding matana. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to take it away from the guy. You can take it away from the Makabal Matana, but you can't take away whatever benefit he got from using it to plow. Ela Shechato, but if the Mazik shechted it, what do you mean Masha Asa Asui? That makes it sound like the Nizik cannot collect it anymore. Why not? Lasi Lishtali Mibisrei. Let the Nizik come and collect the meat of the animal as his payment. Did Tanya, because after all, we have a Brisa, Darshan's a Pasuk that says, the full Pasuk is Ummachru es Hashor Hachai, but a Darshan's Chai, Ainli Ela Chai. I only know from the Pasuk that a Nizik is allowed to collect a living animal as his payment. Shechato Minayin, how do I know that even if the animal is Shechted, you're allowed to collect its meat as your payment? Tamalam or Machru es Hashor Mikol Makom. That's what the Pasuk says, Machru es Shor before the word hachai, to teach me that no matter what condition the shor is in, you're allowed to collect it. And that's why, so if that's the case, we're stuck with this question. What do you mean that if he shechted it, masha asa asui? It's not a done deal. You should be able, the nizik should be able to collect from the meat of the animal. So answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Shizvi, yes, of course he's allowed to collect from the meat of the animal, but lo nitzchel pchas shchita. The Tosefta is teaching us that even if the value of the shor went down through the shechita, the mazik is not chayiv to pay for the difference in the value of the nizik. You just take the shor as it is now, even though as it is now is less value than it was worth when it was alive at the time that it did the hezek. So Rav Huna is going to teach us that we see from here that the what the halacha would be in general if someone has a shibud on your property and you are mazik the property that someone has a shibud on. That here's a person has a lien on your property and you damage not the person directly, but you damage the property that he has a lien on, because that's exactly what this case is. He's got a lien on this animal and you shechted it and went down in value. So it says Rav Huna, Zosameres Hamazik Shibud Shel Chaveru Pater. So it seems very clear from here that when you're mazik someone else's shibud, you're going to be pater, because that's exactly what our case is. Says Mar Pshita, isn't that obvious that it's exactly the same case? Why would you think to distinguish between them? Now Mal Detei Mahasam Udamalei Lo Chisaticha V'Lamidi. I might have thought that only by the mazik that shechts his shar, he's pater, because he can say to the guy, I didn't cost you anything, because after all, Zikabi Al Mahud Shakli Minach, all I took is the life out of this animal, but I didn't really cost you anything. Avol bialma, but when you go and physically damage someone else's shibud, lechayiv, I might think that you're the mazik is chayiv to pay. Kamashmula, and that's why Rav Huna has to tell me that even when you're mazik mamish someone's shibud, you're still going to be pater. A little bit difficult to understand what that chiluk is. What do you mean when you shecht an animal, you're not being mazik directly? You're just taking its life away. Of course, you're being mazik directly by shechting it and taking its life away. The idea that the Gemara has to be mechadesh, that when someone shechts behemas chaverah, that that's called a mazik, and we don't just say you took away its life, is a very, very difficult, concept. In Chidushei Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Shka points out that it's a davar pasha, that when you shecht your friend's animal, it's not yours, when you shecht your friend's animal, you're obviously a mazik, but by being mazik shibudu shel chaverah, which is not really mamon shel chaverah, it's really not yet his money, so one might have thought that you're only going to be considered a mazik when you are actually make the chavetz a chaser, when you actually remove some pieces of it, you take something out of it. But when all you did is you took away the life of the shar, but all of it, its physical body, the entire nevela, is still intact, that's where there would have been a hava amina, that's not called mazik, where you would have to pay. So that's what the Gemara is telling us, that it's takanat, you don't have to pay, because it's just like mazik shibudo shel chavero. Frak the Gemara, but han ami rabba amara. This din was already taught by Rabba Adama Rabba, shtaroso shel chavero pater, that if you burn someone else's shtaros, now his shtaros say that people owe him tons and tons of money, and you're pater for that, isn't that exactly the case of mazik shibudo shel chavero? And says Gemara, mal tutei mahasam udarmalei nyar bialma klai minach. Now over there, he wasn't mazik any property of value, he was mazik pieces of paper. So you could say, yeah, I damaged your paper. Aval hecha de chafar ba boru shich numaros. But if you go to karka that's meshubad to this guy, and you start digging around in that karka, and you start actually destroying the karka, lichayiv, I might think that you're chayiv in that case, kamash mulan. So that's why Rav Huna has to tell me from our sugya that you're pater even when you're directly mazik shibudu shel chavero da hacha command chafar ba boru shich numaros dami. That in our case, it's as if you dug boru shich numaros, become a mashah sasui, meaning in our case it's direct damage, you shechted the animal, and nevertheless we say that the guy has no tainas on you, all he can do is collect the meat of the animal, but he cannot collect for the difference in the value of the animal between when it was alive and now that it's dead. Now we go weiter in that Tosefta that we quoted. So says Gemara, Kodmu Balei Chovos, the Tosefta had said that if the Balei Chov of the Mazik come and Higbiu, and they take this shor for payment for their chov, Bein chav achlo hizik, bein hizik achlo chav. Whether the damage happened before the chov or after the chov, lo asav lo klum. The bal chov is not able to collect this animal for his payment. Lefi shein mishalem elam gufo. Because when your animal does damage, you only have to pay from the guf of the animal, and therefore that animal is considered meshuba to the nizik. No bal chov can come and take it. It's meshuba to someone else. So says the Gemara, well, that makes half sense. Bishlam hizik achalo chav, if the damage happened before the chov existed, nizak and kadmu. So I understand the bal chov can't collect it, because the damage was there first, and therefore the shibud as a result of that damage was there first. Aval chav achalo hizik, bal chov kadim. But if the chov happened first, so the bal chov was there, how could the nizik create a shibud on this thing when the bal chov had a shibud there first? Afilu hizikat shalochav balchov kadim, and even the Gemara just points out even further, even in a case where the damage happened first before the chov, still the balchov is tofes the shor before the nizik takes it. So why would the nizik be allowed to take it away from him? The balchov was the first one to get the shor. They both have a shibra in it. A shibra is not ownership, so whichever is the first one to actually take ownership of it should be the rightful owner. Shmamina balchov muuchar shakadim v'gava. So you see from here that a later balchov that comes and collects earlier than the earlier balchov masha gava lo gava, that apparently that's not a valid collection. So says Gemara, lo liolamemelach masha gava gava. You can't prove from here that if a later balchov collects first, that it's binding. Maybe really when it's not binding. Rather, maybe really it is binding. V'shayini hasa, but by a balchov that collects from the shor hamazik before the nizik takes that shor, that's where the nizik is allowed to take it away from him. Da amar lei, because the nizik could tell the balchov, ilu kapach hava. Okay, you have a shibur on this animal. Let's say you were the owner of this animal when this nezik happened. You know what I would do? I would come and I would collect this animal. So what? Having a shibur on the animal is going to give you stronger rights in the animal than being the owner of the animal? Certainly not. Even if you were the owner of the animal, I would have been able to take it from you. Ilu gabach hava lo minach hava gavilei. Would dai tura da askin minei mishtalavna. So he says, wouldn't I have collected it directly from you? Because this shor that did damage, that damaged my shor, that's what I'm entitled to collect from. And therefore it's as if this shor is an apotiki to pay dafka for the damage that it did to me. And that's why I'm able to collect from it. Frek tells us on the top, Tema, Azhu bedin sheyigva shepasha bishmiraso. No. I can't tell the guy, look, if this animal did damage while you were the owner, I would take it from you. And therefore, now that it did damage while you had a shibur on it, I should be able to take it from you. Those are very different cases. You know why I'd be able to take it from you if it did damage while you were the owner? Because if you're the owner, you're supposed to be watching it. But if you just have a shibur on it and you're not the owner, how can I say that I'm going to take it from you? You weren't supposed to be watching it. It wasn't your responsibility. So he had no sinus. The very fact that that you're not the owner is the very reason why I shouldn't be allowed to take it from you. So it says, tells me, Yeshlom et lo kamar ella kolomar de'ein guf ha-shor meshubel le-balchov k'moshu hu meshubel le-nizik she-nishtali me-gufo. All this is trying to say, he's not really trying to say that it is like a kal v'chomer. All he's trying to say is that the shibud that the balchov has is not the same as the shibud that the nizik has. The nizik's shibud is a much stronger shibud because the only thing he collects from is the guf of the animal. The balchov just has a general shibud on all of the property of the person that owes him money. And that's how Rashi touches it up as well later on in Daf Lamed Vav. Okay, so now we're finally into today's Daf. So now the Gemara brings a brisa that discusses various cases where the shor that did damage or the shor that got damaged goes up or down in value after the damage happens. Tana Rabban, shor shav masayim shenagach shor shav masayim. Let's say $200 shor gores a $200 shor. V'chavul bo b'chamishim zuz. And it, now that the nizik is worth $50 less. V'shavach v'amad al arba meil zuz. But then, after that happened, the shor nizik went up in value, and now it's worth 400 zuz. So the mazik is not able to say to the nizik, hey, I didn't cost you anything. At the time that my shor did the damage to your shor, it was only worth 200 zuz. Now it's worth 400 zuz. He can't say that because shel malei hiziko haya omel al shmona meils k'shas nezek. Because had it not done the damage, then it would have been worth 400 zuz. It would have been worth 800 zuz. If it's worth 400 zuz now, even after it got damaged, can you imagine what it would have been worth? Had it never been damaged? That's how Rashi understands in the Lashon Rishon. Rashi has two Lashonos over here. That's how Rashi understands in Lashon Rishon. The Lashon Acher, Rashi explains that the Brice is telling us that the Nizik is not able to be Toveya from the Mazik 400 Zuz based on because what the Shor is Mashbiach, because the Shor would have been Mashbiach more had it not been damaged, meaning he can't say to him, oh, it's worth 400 now, that means it would have been worth 800, so you really cost me not 50 Zuz, you really cost me 400 Zuz, because it really no, we don't get speculative like that and make him pay back that amount of money. Good. kachash. Let's say the shor hanizik after the negicha went down in value, and now it's only worth let's say 100 zuz kishas hamad bedin. So then you pay the value that it is at the time of the hamad bedin. So if it went down from 200 to 100, you pay half of that damage, which will turn out to be 50. The damage was 100; half of it would be 50. So says more shavach mazik. What if the shor hamazik after the negicha went up in value, and it's now worth 400 zuz? Maybe it's good for bullfights now. They see that it's really it's talented, that it's going around goring things. Now, I assume it means that it got fatter or whatever else. But if it goes up in value, the nizik is not able to say to the mazik, "Ooh, when your shor damages mine, your shor tam damages mine." So now we become shutvin in that shor. So we should divide whatever the increase in value of that shor really is. He's not able to say that. Rather, nosin lo kashas hanezek. He pays him what the shor was worth, half of what the shor is worth at the time of the nezek. Kochash, if the mazik goes down in value, kashas hamad bedin, then he only has to pay him half of what the shor is worth at the time of the hamad bedin. So now the Gemara is going to explain, why in the world does this price make any sense? Omar mar. We had said in this price, shavach mazik, if the mazik went up in value, nosin kshas hanezek. You pay for the how much it was worth, not right now, but at the time of the nezek. Well, we had a machlokas, when a short time gores, someone else gores another shor, do they become shutfin in that shor, or is it just that he owes him money? He owes him half the value of his shor. Well, if you can say he pays him kashas hanezek and not at what the shor is worth now, so doesn't that imply money, Rabbi Yishmali, Tamar Balchovu, Vizuzi, Damasikle, that we're assuming like Rabbi Yishmal, that you don't become shutfin in the animal, but that it's you owe him money, so it's a Balchov, and all it is that you owe him money. But Ema Seifa, but then the Seifa goes on to say that Kachash, if it goes down in value, Kishas HaMad HaBedin, that you're going to pay based on how much it's worth at the time of HaMad HaBedin. But wait a second, assuming that you're paying Kishas HaMad HaBedin, is Asal Rabbi Akiva. That goes like the sheet of Rabbi Akiva to Amar Shutvininu, who says that they're Shutvim. That's why it would be based on HaMad HaBedin, because we're partners in it, so whatever happens to the value of this animal, we're equal partners in whatever happens to this value of the animal. But that's a problem. Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, Sefer Rabbi Akiva, the ratio assumes like Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer assumes like Rabbi Akiva, says more low. Kula Rabbi Akivahi. The whole thing is going like Rabbi Akiva. And really, therefore, everyone, they're partners in it the whole way through. And in the Seifa, where it goes down in value, I certainly understand why the Nizik loses equally to the Mazik. And how we can explain the Reisha, why when it's Mashbiach, the Nizik doesn't get a portion of that Shevach, is Kisha Pitmo. It didn't go up in value magically. The Mazik was feeding it and fattening it, and that's what brought it up in value. So that's why the Nizik doesn't get a piece of that additional value. However, this is only, the Rishonim point out, only if the shevach of the fattening is not more than the expenses that the mazik incurred in fattening it. Because if the shevach, let's say I invested $100 in fattening this shor and it went up by $1,000, so that extra $900, that we still split evenly. But the investment is what we don't split evenly, because if there's shutvim in this shor, so if someone goes and fattens my animal, the halacha is that's the din of yorid l'stei chavero. Let's say now you're in camp, you go home from camp, and look at that, someone took your house and renovated the whole thing, extreme makeover, whatever, home edition, and now you have all these improvements to your house. So how much do you have to pay for that? So the halacha is, if someone makes improvements, you only have to pay the lesser of the two amounts, either increased value or investment. So here also, that's exactly what the guy did. He went and he was mefatim the shor. So it went up in value by a lot, so I only have to pay the amount that he was mefatim, but the extra value, that's all mine to keep. So that's the case. Frankly, Gemara, Ika Shapitmo, if the case is that the mazik was mefatim it, Ema Reisha, then how come the Reisha, how you can explain the din earlier in the Brisa, so where it said, Shavach Vamar al Abra Meil Zuz, that if the Shor Hanizik went up in value, Nosin Lok Shas Hanezik, you pay based on how much it was worth at the time of the Nezek, and not more than that. But if the Nezek is the one that fattened it, Tzricha LeMeimar, of course that's going to be the halacha. You need to tell me that you pay Kishas and Nezek, it's a davar pashut, that you can't claim any more than that, because the Shar was not Mashbiach on its own, it was only Mashbiach as a result of the Pitum. So Amar Rav Papa, Reisha Mishkachas La Bein De Pitma Pitume, Bein De Shivcha Memeila. Now the case of the Reisha where the Nezek goes up in value, that's going to be true no matter how it went up in value, whether it went up in value because you fattened it or whether it went up in value by itself. And the Bryce has to tell me in the case where it happens on its own, that when it happens on its own, that you still only pay kishas hanezek, and you can't say that that I didn't cost you anything. But in the Seifa where it talks about the mazik shor going up in value, so that is only when the mazik was mefatemit, that's where the nizik is not a shutuf in it, and the nizik cannot claim any of the increased value, because the increased value was a direct result of the investment of the mazik. So now the Gemara is going to go back and explain the brayse in case of in the other case that we haven't discussed yet, where the shor of the nizik went down in value. Pnei Yeshua points out that it's, you know, we explain it out of order. The brayse started by talking about the shor of nizik going up and down in value, and then the shor of mazik going up and down in value. We explain the second part about the shor of mazik going up and down in value, and then go backwards to the first part, to the shor of nizik going up and down in value. So you have to figure out exactly why we did that. So probably because that chiddush of kishapitmo is what leads us to a proper explanation of the first part of the brayse. But anyway, the brayse goes on to say, or had said earlier, kachash kishas amadim did. If the shor of nizik went down in value, so then the mazik pays how much it was worth at the time of the amad b'din, meaning the lesser amount that it's currently worth, and not how much it was worth kishas hanezek. So it says the Gemara, kachash machmas mai. What caused it to go down in value? If it went down in value because of hard work that you did with it, so why does the mazik have to pay the lower value? Lemele at mechach va'ana yahivna. He could say to him, you weaken the shor, and I'm going to have to pay for that. That's going to come out of my money. Why would that happen? That I would come out of my pocket when you go and you're beating the animal and making it go down in value. So I'm Ravashi the kachash machmas maka. That no, the case is that it went down in value because of the after effects of being gored. My animal gored your animal. So yes, we're going to split your animal and my animal. If your animal went down in value after that, it wasn't magically that it went down in value. It went down in value because it's suffering the after effects of getting gored. He could say the horn of your ox is buried in my animal, and that's why it went down in value. Good. Now we have a new Mishnah. So this Mishnah is going to discuss the psukim that describe how machras hashor chai v'chatzu es kaspo, that if one animal kills another animal, so they split everything. They split the deceased animal, they split the living animal. What in the world does that mean? So says the Mishnah, shor shavim asayim shenagach shor shavim asayim. If one shor that's worth 200 gores, another shor that's worth 200. Ve'ein anavela yafa klum. And the nevela is now worthless. It's worth $0.00. Amar Amir al zeh namar umachras hashor chai v'chitzu es kaspo. That's where we say that they divide the value of chatzu es kaspo, that they divide the value of the living shor, of the $200 shor, and each one gets $100. Amar le Rabbi Yehuda v'chein halacha. He says, you're right, that is the halacha, but that's not the case the pasuk was talking about, because kiyamto machras hashor chai v'chatzu es kaspo. You did a great job explaining how the pasuk describes splitting the living shor, but velo kiyamto v'kamis hamesi achatzun. But what you didn't do a great job explaining is the other half of the pasuk that says you're supposed to split the dead shor as well. In the case that we just presented, the dead shor was worth nothing, so there's nothing to split. So the eza. So what exactly is the case of the Torah where we're splitting both? There's going to be a lot of math in this Gemara. Not complicated math, but a lot of numbers. You have a shor that's worth 200, of course another shor that's worth 200. But the nevela yafa chamishim zuz. The nevela is not worth a zero. The nevela is worth something. It's worth 50 zuz. So how much damage did I do to you? I actually only did $150 of damage to you. So really, if I'm going to pay chatzi nezek, how much should I be paying you? I should be paying you $75. So here's what happens. Meaning, so you're supposed to end up with, if you think about it, right now you have a nevela worth $50. And you should get $75 additional. So at the end of the day, you should be walking home with $125, right? So that's the case. That's what where we split everything. Each guy takes half of the living animal and half of the dead animal, because the living animal is worth 200, half of it is 100. The dead animal is worth 50, half of it's 25. Each guy ends up with 125, and that's exactly what he should be ending up with, because you're paying whatever the nevela is worth currently, plus half of the damage, which is half of 150, and that's how you get to the 125. Says the Gemara, we have a price. Tan Rabbanan. Shorshav Masayim, Shnog, Shorshav Masayim. Exactly the case we just presented. $200 shor grows another $200 shor, and the nevela is worth chamishim zuz. Exactly the halacha we just said. No surprises, exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah. Rameir Omer, Ein zeu shor amar b'torah. No, that is not the shor that the Torah was talking about, because he says the nizik would not take half of the value of the living shor, with the $100 of the living shor, because the nizik, according to our mayor, keeps the whole nevela for himself. He keeps the nevela for himself, so he was only damaged by $150. So he should only get $75 additional, not $100 additional. Ella, the case of the Torah is Sharshav Masayim Shnok, Sharshav Masayim Ben Nevel Yof Klum. Case is $200 Shar, Gord, another $200 Shar, and the Nevel is worth zero. Al Zenem or Machras Ashar Achai, the Chatzuas Kaspo. That's where you get half of the living Shar, because you got $200 worth of damage. You should collect half of that, which is $100. Aye, but we said that only explains half of the pasuk. Elamani mekayim. What are you going to do with the other half of the pasuk? We got mishamesi achatzug, that you're supposed to divide the dead nevela as well, but it's worth zero. What do you mean divide it? Pchas shebchaso misa machtsin b'chai. We evaluate how much the shor went down in value through its death, and that gets paid out of the living shor. It doesn't mean you actually divide the nevela. It means if the nevela used to be worth, when it was alive, 200, and now that it's a nevela, it's worth zero, that's how we do the evaluation of how much you lost. You lost $200. Half of that is what you're going to get out of the shor achai. So Michti, says Gemara, Bein Rabbi Meir, Bein Rabbi Yehuda, both Rabbi Meir holds that when the nevela is worth 50, then the mazik does not divide the value of the nevela. Rather, he takes the whole nevela and just gets $75 from the living shor. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hai meyev esrum chamisha shakel. Each guy is getting 125 in the end. You know, however you want to do the math, the way Rabbi Yehuda does it is they split the $200 shor evenly, and they split the $50 dead shor evenly, so they each end up with 125. The way Rabbi Meir does the math is the nizik keeps the $50 dead shor entirely and takes $75 out of the living shor. But at the end of the day, they both end up with $125 according to both cheshbonos. So what's enough community between them? Enough community between them is if the nevela goes down in value by the time they get to the hamad bedin, and now it's worth less than $50. Rameir says whatever goes down in value, that's the nizik's loss, and he can still only collect $75 additional from the mazik. Rabbi Yehuda suffer pchas nevela de mazik havi palga. Rabbi Yehuda says no, the lessening of the value of the nevela, they split that loss 50-50. He says, well, wait a second. Then it turns out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a tam is going to be more chamer than a muad. How so? So Rashi fills us in a little bit that what by a shor muad, the Gemara in Dav Yud tells us that the nevela belongs to the nizik. and whatever devaluation the nevela goes through after the goring, the nizik is the one that suffers that loss. So the mazik only has to pay how much it went down immediately at the shas negicha. By a short time, the Rabbi Yehuda says, that if it goes down in value after the negicha, the nizik and the mazik split that loss. So the mazik's losses are greater, in a certain sense, when his shor was a tam than it would have been if his shor was a muad. If his shor was a muad, whatever further devaluation the nizik has is the nizik's problem. But when the mazik's shor is a tam, whatever further devaluation the shor has, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is going to be their shared problem. V'chitei machinami, and if you would say, okay, so what? So that a tam is more chamer than a muad in this sense. Why is that such a big deal? No, it is a big deal. Kiditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, or we will learn in the Mishnah later on, and daf mem hey, by a person who's watching a shor with a shmira pechusa, with not very strong protection, and the shor goes out and damages, that Rabbi Yehuda omer tam chayiv muad pater. Rabbi Yehuda says if the shor is a tam, the baal shor has to pay. But if it's a muad, he's pater. So the Gemara says that you can't say that. Emer tisham le Rabbi Yehuda. When do you say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a tam is chamer from a muad, linyan shmira, that a tam only needs shmira pchusa, tichsiv yikrayi, because it's mefurish in the psukim that way. But linyan tashlum and mishamadai, you're going to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a tam is more chamer than a muad in terms of how much it pays? Vatanya, Brisa says not that way. So you see that tam is more chamer than a muad. When it comes to shmira, maybe it's more chamer than a muad. But when it comes to how much it's going to pay, when it comes to evaluating the loss, you can't say a tam is more chamer than a muad, because Vatanya, we have a Brisa. Rabbi Yehuda, the pasuk says, you sell the living shor and you divide the money of the dead shor. You might think that if you have a $100 shor, it's worth a mana. Mana means 100 zuz. Now here's where it gets confusing, because you got to know the conversion rates. 100 zuz is 25 slotim. Each sell is 4 zuz. So 100 zuz is 25 slotim. So you have a 25 sella shor that gores a shor that's worth 5 sella. Vanevela yafasella. And then the nevela is worth only 1 sella. So how much damage did you do? You did 4 slotim of damage. So that's where we say, zen notel chatzia chai v'chatzia meis. They take the 25 sella shor and they split that in half, and they take the 1 sella shor, the one that's worth 1 sella now, and they split that in half, so each of them are going to end up with exactly 13 slotim, which is amazing for the nizik, because the nizik started with a 5 sella shor. If you split everything now, he ends up, meaning if this golden shor happened to do damage to his regular shor, the horse that just won the triple crown happened to do damage to his little pony, so he's sitting pretty now. So Marit, you can't say such a thing. V'chi muad l'mayotze. Why does the Torah distinguish between a muad from a tam l'hachmir lav l'hakal lav, to make life more difficult for the muad, or to be more strict for the muad, or to be more makel, to be more lenient? Havi omer, clearly it's l'hachmir lav. We want to be more machmir on the muad, so it's a kal chomer. Uman mu'reinu mashalim el mashi hizik. If your shor muad damages 4 slayim worth of damage, what do you pay? 4 slayim. So tam akalo kolshkein. It can't be that when your shor tam damages 4 slayim worth of damage, all of a sudden you're paying 13 slayim. That doesn't make sense, right? That the muad is only going to pay the nezek shalem of what you did, but the tam, since we split everything, including the shor that did the damage, you're going to end up with 13 slayim. That can't be. You can't say that's how it's going to work out. So it has to be that the Torah was talking about where the shor mazik. The Torah was not talking about where the shor mazik is worth so much more than the shor nizik. In that case, you would not divide it. So you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we call the tam a kal. So you can't say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the tam is going to be more chamer than a muad. Well, all that was just to show that Rabbi Yehuda would not refer to a tam as being more chamer than a muad. Elam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, we need to explain the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir differently. If the if the nevela goes down in value after the negicha, the mazik is not going to lose out. That's not the mazik's problem. Because if by a muad it's not the mazik's problem, by a tam it can't be the mazik's problem either. Rather, what are they arguing about? Shevach nevela ikibenayu. They're arguing about the opposite. If the nevela goes up in value after the negicha, before the hamad bedin, the Mar Sava Rabbi Meir would hold that the mazik doesn't have a shutfas in the nevela, and therefore the nizik avi. That increase in value is purely the nizik's, and the mazik pays from the value of his own shar whatever the nevela was worth at the shas negicha, based on what the nevela was worth at the shas negicha, half of the damages that were done. So if the animal before it got gored was worth 200, at the shas negicha went down to 100, he's going to have to pay 50 right now, regardless of the fact that right now at the Hamad Bedin, the Nizik is worth 300 or 150 or whatever, went up in value. Umar Sefer Rabbi Yehuda holds Palga. The increase in value is split evenly between the Mazik and the Nizik. And therefore the Mazik gets half of the Shevach Nevela as well, because they become partners in it. And that explains Rabbi Yehuda's kasha in a different brisa. Now that we see that the Torah has rachmanas on the mazik, that we allow him to take the increase in value, we allow him to get some of the profits of the increase in value of the nevela. So you might think, what if it's the reverse? What if you have a 5 sela shar gore a 25 sela shar, v'hanevela yafach hamishim zuz, and the nevela is worth 12 and a half slaim right now. It's worth 50 zuz, which is 12 and a half slaim. So zeno tel chatzi achai v'chatzi ames, v'zeno tel chatzi achai v'chatzi ames, would you still say that they split both of them? Think about what that means. That my shar that did damage to you is only worth 5 slaim, right? And so I started with 5 slaim of value. If we divide your shar that now got damaged is currently worth 12 and a half slaim. If we were to split both shars, we'd each get 6 1/4 of your shar and 2 1/2 of my shar, which means I'll end up with 8 3/4 slaim after my shar that was only worth 5 slaim to begin with did damage. So it was the greatest investment ever to have my shar do damage. That would come out to be ridiculous. How can you say that the mazik is going to make money off the deal? And furthermore, shalem yishalem. You know, the Torah says you got to pay, not that you make money off the deal. So bailam yishalem, vein bailam notlin. The bala shara mazik pays, not he doesn't get money. My v'omer, why do I need a omer to add to this, the shalem yishalem? V'chi tema, if you would say that without the pasuk of shalem yishalem, hani mili, we would have said that hechadika pseido nizik, that when do we not divide it? That's only if the nizik is going to end up losing out from dividing it. But what if the nizik wouldn't lose out either? What if each shor was worth 5 slaim, and the nevela goes up in value after the negicha and is now worth 30 zuz? So shakel nami mazik b'shivcha. So you might say, oh, if the nizik's not going to lose, then why not? Let the mazik take some of that shevach as well. So that's why you need the va'omer. Shalem yishalem. Bailam yishalem v'im bailam notlin. That whatever happens at the end of the day, the guy whose shor did the damage should not be making money. He has to be losing money off of this deal. So the Gemara asks in Rabbi Yehuda, Amalei Ravach bar techlifa l'rava, im kein, if Rabbi Yehuda does not explain the pasuk of v'gamis ha'meisiach tzud, that they split the like Rav Meir explains it, that they split the devaluation of the dead shor and that gets paid out of the live shor, but rather he understands it that they split the value of the live shor and the value of the dead shor. Then it could come out that sometimes the tam is going to pay more than half damage. How so? How's the tam going to pay more than half damage? What if you have the following case? A shor is worth 50 zuz, gores a shor that's worth 40 zuz, the nevela is now worth 20 zuz. So now what's going to happen? They'll divide both of them, right? The demei achai and the demei hames. So each of them are going to end up with 35 zuz, because my 50 zuz shar, we each get 25 out of. The nizik is now worth 20 zuz, we each get 10 out of it. So it's 35 zuz for each. So it turns out that I paid you 35 zuz, even though I only did 20 zuz of damage. So that is more than, that I'm paying you an extra 15 zuz, even though I only did 20 zuz of damage. I should have only had to pay 20 zuz, right? Now I'm going to have to pay an extra 15 on top of that. That can't be. So Torah Amra Machras Hashara Chai V'Chatzvas Kaspo, because the Torah says you pay half. So Isle the Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yehuda also holds that when it says Gamas HaMesiach Tzun P'chas Shapichas HaMisa Machtzin B'chai, he also understands that it means whatever goes down in value as a result of the death, that you split in half and pay out of the living animal. It doesn't mean you just pay what half of whatever the living animal is worth. So minale, the Gemara says, how does Rabbi Yehuda learn that the pasuk is talking about dafka in that case, and not like the pashtus that you always split whatever the living animal is worth? Mivagames hamesiach tzun, because it goes on to say that they split the deceased animal as well. V'ha'afke, so from that part you know that it can't just be that you split it evenly. V'afke Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda already used that pasuk for lezenot v'chatzia chay v'chatzia meis v'zenot v'chatzia chay v'chatzia meis to tell us that you split both animals. Now im kain, if that's the only din it was teaching us, nichtav kra ve'es hameis. My vegam. It could have just said vesames yachtsun. Why do I say vegam esames yachtsun? Shema mina tarti. So the Torah must be telling me another din that the mazik is a shutaf. He's considered a partner in whatever increase in value the nevela had. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda derives all of his din. Okay, but Shem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah. A little bit of a shorter daf, so hopefully, so much shorter. So hopefully we'll try to catch up. Okay.